The Nazca Lines are a site that, if you ever get the opportunity to see, you must go and see them. I would say, though, that if you go and do that, do not be absolutely high as a kite when you do it. Klaus and I learned this the hard way, or I certainly learned this the hard way the following morning. We'd arrived at Nazca, the town of Nazca, quite early in the morning. Sun still hadn't come up yet. We were debating what to do when we got off the bus. We were both feeling a bit ropey, tried to get some sugar in us as well. In the bus station, we didn't even head outside because the other side of the fence, people were shouting about the Nazca lines, come and get on my tour, come and do this, let's go to the airport, all of that hassle, hassle, hassle. Of course, I don't blame them. You understand that people are going to come there for a reason, and the reason is to see the Nazca lines. So you kind of don't blame them for doing that. But that early in the morning, when you're hanging, when you've still got the munchies and you feel like crap, not ideal to be faced with that first thing in the morning. So we hung around until at least the light came up, and then we decided that really it was a case of you only live once. If we're going to see the Nazca lines, let's go and see them by plane. Let's not go to the little, there's a couple of huts you can go up to off the main road, and you can see some of the Nazca lines. We thought you only live once. We might as well go and see the Nazca lines. Now, the Nazca lines are very large geoglyphs made in the soil of the Nazca Desert in southern Peru. They're rumored to have been produced or made between 500 BC and 500 AD. There are many different things there. There's one of a monkey. They've recently discovered one of a whale. There's one of what looks to be a spider, a bird, amongst other things as well. In general, the combined length of all the lines is about 800 or so meters, 800 and so miles long, which, when you think about it, is stark raving mad. They're best seen from the air, which is why we took the plane flight. We'd agreed $75 for this guy to take us there. Now, that $75 included a taxi from the bus station to the airport and back, included a flight for about an hour, I think it was, maybe an hour and a half, in a small plane over the various lines. Again, at the idea at the time sounded good, but the minute we got on the plane, I certainly wasn't very well. The sick bag was definitely out. I know that's probably TMI, but the sick bag was definitely out. But from what I remember seeing, and again in this small plane, it wasn't necessarily very windy, but I think the transport sickness of going down, left, right, up, down, and quite sharp circles, that got to me. And then having a sip of Coke to keep myself awake, the Coke went down and the Coke went straight back up. I don't think the pilot was too impressed, but again, it was all in the sick bag. But that being said, the great thing about the lines, apart from the fact that they're an amazing work of art, that the shapes are usually made from one continuous line. Largest ones are about 350, 300 centimeters long. Mentioned about the spider, mentioned about the whale that they recently found, the monkey. Other figures include a fish, a condor, a heron, a lizard, a dog, and a cat. And there's even one of a human, which, if you've seen the photo, looks like an astronaut. Just bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. There's no real better way to describe it. The best way that you're going to see the Nazca lines is either go there yourself or, again, Google image Nazca lines and just have a look for yourself. There's also quite a good episode on a series called Blowing Up History, which is on Sky, and they look at the Nazca lines as well, and that's where they have discovered one of a whale. After the Nazca lines, and we come back, we've flown back down, we're in the airport, we got taken back to the bus station. That was it. Hindsight, probably could have stayed in Nazca for an evening or so. But after having been there, I found out that there was quite a funky museum also that you could see in Nazca itself. A bit gutted to have missed out on that. Didn't know that at the time, but it would have been nice to go and see the Museo Municipal, the municipal museum. There's quite a lot of different potteries and that sort of stuff in the museum. But we didn't do that. Klaus and I decided that we wanted to hang out in an oasis for a few days. And the place to do that, which is en route to Lima, is a place called Huacachina. To get there, we took the bus to Ica. Again, Peruvian buses like to be quite slow. They're comfortable, but they're slow, and they like to stop everywhere as well. We got off at Isa, or Ica, got a little colectivo to Huacachina. Now, Huacachina is just pretty much as you'd expect. It's an oasis town, so it's surrounded by sand dunes, sand hills. There's not a lot in the little oasis itself. You've got your various hostels and hotels. You've got a nice little lake in the middle of it as well. Of course you would, it's an oasis. And we weren't really sure how long to stay there. We stayed there for a few nights. The first thing we'd done when we booked a room and went straight to sleep, we had a siesta. And pretty much the rest of the time there involved smoking substances, should we say, having a few drinks around the lake. We went for a little bar crawl as well around the lake itself. Wasn't too much to see and do. We also went sandboarding, which was great fun, apart from the fact sand does get everywhere. In orifices that you didn't even know existed. That, in effect, was sandboarding. And from Huacachina, because there's not really a lot to report back then, I'm not going to drag out the episode for no reason. From Huacachina, after a few days, we then head up to Lima. And we went through various places. We went through Pisco, which again, going back to Pisco Sours. But we just took a really long bus up into Lima and stayed in the Miraflores district, right on the coastal area of Lima. It's not really a lot to report back from Lima either. Lima was, you know, where the Viceroy of Peru was based after, you know, Spanish invasion, etc., etc. I think that was also considered the jewel in the crown of New Spain or you know, it's Latin America at the time. It's a very vast place, is Lima. I think it holds near 10 million people, something along those lines in the greater district. A very, very big place. I actually found it quite boring, to be honest with you. But we headed into Lima anyway. We settled down at the hotel, the hostel. The hostel was really cool. There wasn't a lot of people there, but the people that were there were all really cool people. So again, referring back to Buenos Aires, there was a bit of barbecuing going on, people playing some card games, having a few beers, having a bit of a laugh, and that was it. Klaus decided after a day or two he was off somewhere else, so we parted ways. It'd been nice to hang out with someone rather than just be on my own for a few weeks, for about a week or so. I went for a walk up and down the sort of seafront. I went into the main part of Lima. So looking at the really old convents, looking at the main squares, looking at the plazas, bits and pieces like that. Then took a walk back down the main road, past a few football stadiums. We saw the National Stadium as well. I saw where Universitario play their games at the University Stadium. Surprise, surprise. Had a few decent meals, a few ceviches. Peru is very famous for its ceviches. It's basically raw fish. I'm not going to say it's like sushi, but it's, you know, raw fish platters in a nutshell. Then also went to a pre-Columbian site. Now, I forget the name of the site itself, but took a little guided tour there as well. Apart from that, didn't really do too much in Lima. Kind of glad I didn't. Just seemed like a very big, vast, boring place. I'm sure if you listen to this and you're from Lima, I do apologise. This is just what I felt like at the time. Having, you know, researched Lima a lot more, I'm sure you could spend a long time there and really not get bored. There's a mass of museums and bits and pieces that you can go and see. But at the time, just, you know, didn't really fancy being there. It just seemed like a very big city, etc., etc. But I was also gearing up for a very long journey to Bogota. As mentioned in the last episode, we booked in a little while ago to get from Lima to Bogota. We didn't really want to do a lot of North Peru because we knew we wanted to spend a lot of time in the south, in and around, you know, Cusco and Machu Picchu and those sorts of sites. So we never intended to spend much time in the north of Peru anyway. We knew that we had to end up in Ecuador because we were flying over to the Galapagos, but we wanted to go to Colombia. And we found the easiest way to get from Peru to Colombia, or the most cost-effective way to get from Peru to Colombia, was to be via a bus. And we found that there was a bus company from Lima that went straight to Bogota. It took about 72 hours. We booked it in, and that was that. Of course, by this time, Aaron's back at home, so it's just me that's on the bus. It was a bus that I never caught. And the reason for that is he got to the day of departure. I think departure was about 4:30 in the afternoon from the bus station. I was being a bit lazy that day, didn't really do a lot. I was packed, I was, you know, mentally ready to go, making sure everything's charged, all of these sorts of things. And it was only when looking at the bus ticket pretty much at the last minute that I discovered that I had anticipated it going from one bus station, when in fact the departure time was from a completely different bus station, which was much further away from the hostel. Now, traffic in Lima is bad at the best of times, and I've probably never seen myself move so fast in order to get the hostel to hail a cab for me to quickly take me to the bus station. Surprise, surprise, stuck in traffic. It looked at a point that the bus was going to be missed. Of course, it being Peru, you could sometimes rely on the bus actually not turning up at all or being late itself. But thankfully made it to the new bus station. My apologies there. Thankfully made it to the new bus station with about 5 minutes to spare. It was very, very touch and go. Made it with 5 minutes to spare, got on the bus. And the best thing, because it was allocated seating, when Aaron and I had booked the tickets, we'd booked for the very front of the bus. So for that whole journey, we were going to be able to look out the window. It was a double-decker bus, all your luggage is at the bottom. So we were going to be at the top deck, TV light right in the middle, because Latin American buses love playing films and music and bits and bobs. We were able to then look out of the front window. In hindsight, it was probably best that both of us weren't on that bus. It would have been a bit tight, I think, for space. So being able to spread out over a double seat was actually quite useful, especially when it came to stretching legs and whatnot over the journey. So not a lot on Lima, but next week, yes, there is a 99-hour bus journey in total. Yes, it does exist. Yes, it's crazy. No, I don't recommend it. We'll find out more about that next week. Let's try and get from Lima up to Cartagena. Hasta luego.